upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, Editor-in-Chief. Since you know that 5G has been a topic of frequent concern here in the pages of Technocracy News and Trends, I'm happy to inform you that there is a 5G Crisis Awareness and Accountability Summit coming up soon. It's electronic, not in person, but it's an amazing curriculum that's been put together by a friend of mine, Josh Del Sol, and I am a featured speaker at this conference. So I put a headline banner up on technocracy.news. It's called 5G Crisis Awareness and Accountability. And there's a button that you can click to attend. And if you register, as I understand it, if you register early, you will be able to see my video immediately. There's two other videos that are also posted, one by Robert F. Kennedy, who has been a writer and an activist concerned with 5G, and also Deborah Lee Davis, a PhD, and she's talking about the science on 5G and wireless radiation. My understanding of this entire summit is that the 60 or so hours of lectures that are being delivered here cover every conceivable aspect of 5G and why we should be concerned about it, and offers, in some cases, some great solutions to how we can push back and set things right. But this is shaping up to be an encyclopedia of important thought on 5G. So if you go to technocracy.news and click on that banner, click on the attend button, it will take you to a page where you can register, you can get on board, and I believe it'll give you immediate access to my video at least, and you can check it out. 5G is indeed one of the critical issues of our day, and we do need to be concerned about it. If it's successful, it will light up the Internet of Things, which will almost literally push us into a scientific dictatorship. Technocracy is in the news every single day, and I want to point out that I only post three articles a day that I run across that seem to best reflect what's going on. There are hundreds of articles at any given time that I could probably post, but if I did such a thing, oh my gosh, nobody would be able to read that many, and they'd get very frustrated and just throw up their hands. So I limit purposely the number of stories that gets posted every week or every day on technocracy.news. Nevertheless, it is interesting that we're approaching 4,000 stories so far that have been posted and fully indexed and fully categorized. And it's a researcher's dream. If you've never used the search box up at the top right-hand side of the screen, it is a researcher's dream. You can type in any keyword. It will immediately display a type ahead, and it will display all the articles that pertain to your search, and it's very easy to locate articles. So if you're a writer or if you're a speaker or you're just doing some research, it's a great place to go. The first story we're going to talk about today, again, has to do with the United Nations and their demands that we need to change the human diet. We keep hearing this story day after day after day like a drumbeat to the worst song you've ever heard. This goes back years. The United Nations has been trying to convince the West that it needs to change its diet, throw out animals, throw out meat, eat vegetables, that this is sustainable. But meat is not sustainable. Of course, farm animals have been on planet Earth ever since they were created thousands of years ago. Cattle, sheep, goats, chickens, all the other things that mankind has created herds out of and processed for human consumption. All of this sounds pretty sustainable to me, but not for the United Nations. The article again today is another UN climate report calls for change to human diet. The article starts out, efforts to curb greenhouse gas emissions and the impact of global warming will fall significantly short. Without drastic changes in global land use, agriculture, and human diets, leading researchers warn in a high-level report commissioned by the United Nations. So this is the top-level report. It goes on, the special report on climate and land by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that's the infamous IPCC that we know is corrupt from top to bottom as far as its climate data is concerned and its predictions. It says it describes plant-based diets as a major opportunity for mitigating and adapting to climate change and includes a policy recommendation to reduce meat consumption. On August 8th, the IPCC released a summary of the report, which is designed to inform upcoming climate negotiations amidst the worsening global climate crisis. More than 100 experts compiled the report in 3 months, around half of whom hail from developing countries. We don't want to tell people what to eat, says Hans Otto Portner, the IPCC's Working Group on Impacts, Adaption, and Vulnerability. He says, quote, but it would indeed be beneficial for both climate and human health if people in many countries consumed less meat and if politics would create appropriate incentives to that effect. Now, you realize that people, especially in the West, have no interest in modifying their diet for anyone, especially the United Nations, and their scaremongering tactics that because of climate change or global warming, that you shouldn't be selfish. You should quit eating meat so you can help restore the planet. But here, knowing that people are not changing their diet, their answer is, well, use the political system to actually legislate that people should modify their diet. Well, Americans will resist that as well. Sorry to tell them. It ain't going to happen. Says researchers also note the relevance of the report to tropical rainforests, where concerns are mounting about accelerating rates of deforestation. The Amazon rainforest is a huge carbon sink that acts to cool global temperatures, but rates of deforestation are rising, in part due to policies and actions of the government of Brazilian President Bolsonaro. Unstopped deforestation would turn much of the remaining Amazon forest into a degraded type of desert, possibly releasing over 500 billion tons of carbon into the atmosphere in 30 to 50 years. So on one hand, the UN is saying that you should be changing your diet, eat less meat, probably better that you just become a vegan or a vegetarian. And then if you don't do that, why, you're partly responsible for destroying the rainforest. That's right. Deforestation in the rainforest in Brazil, it's your fault because you selfishly eat meat. Maybe it's even Brazilian meat that you eat. Well, this has been going on for so many years, it's just hard to comprehend. Back in 2010, there was a major article in the Guardian newspaper on another report that came out from the UN. It was another department called UNEP, United Nations Environmental Program. A global shift towards a vegan diet is vital to save the world from hunger, fuel poverty, and the worst impacts of climate change, a UN report said today. Remember, this is 10 years ago now. As the global population surges towards a predicted 9.1 billion by 2050, Western tastes for diets rich in meat and dairy products are unsustainable, says the report from UNEP's International Panel of Sustainable Resource Management. It says, quote, impacts from agriculture are expected to increase substantially due to population growth, increasing consumption of animal products. Unlike fossil fuels, it is difficult to look for alternatives. People have to eat. A substantial reduction of impacts would only be possible with a substantial worldwide diet change away from animal products. They've never changed their tune, and they continue to pound out lyrics to support it every week. It's getting very old. But as long as they continue to broadcast this stuff, we have to keep reporting on it to remind people that this is far from anything to do with climate change or carbon dioxide or greenhouse gas emissions. This is more appropriately getting close to a religion. That's right. I said it. I know people are going to take exception with this right away, but the United Nations has been steeped in Eastern religion for decades. And we know that veganism and vegetarianism are tightly correlated with a number of Eastern religions. That would include Gaianism, or the worship of Mother Earth, Gaia, Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, and even paganism. Well, the United Nations is steeped in this stuff. And I'll tell you what they don't like. They don't want anything to do with biblical Christianity. Absolutely verboten at the United Nations. But all of this stuff goes. The World Atlas reports that vegans in the U.S. vary from 0.5 to 5% of the population, and 70% of those who adopted the practice ended up abandoning it. It's just that popular. Now, I'm not saying that somebody can't be a vegan or a vegetarian. Of course you can. There's a number of reasons you might want to do that. And certainly in America, we should not discourage any choice that people want to make as long as it's legal and doesn't hurt anybody else. And so there are quite a number of vegans and vegetarians in America, and that's just fine. But the United Nations has no business trying to force us, especially politically, to change our political system to enforce the reduction of eating meat. Well, next week there'll probably be another story about this. We'll cover it when it happens. The next story, we see the effects of Agenda 21 when it's applied to a city. The headline is, Agenda 21 zoning is a political lightning rod in Des Moines, Iowa. In the heartland of our country, Des Moines has gone overboard on Agenda 21 policies, and they're using all the tricks of the trade. Here's the buzzwords: densification, mixed use, transit corridors, street redesign, regional planning, restricted building codes. All of these things combine to rile both citizens and builders alike. Only the city administration is not upset. The city planner says, catch this, quote, criticism of the Des Moines 2040 zoning proposal does a disservice to what the code change intends to fix. Well, now there's an attitude that's not open to any type of redress. Those who are kicking back against it are doing a disservice to the city. Well, this man has a technocrat mindset if I ever saw one. The article says it's a zoning change that'll restrict density. It's a city plan that'll make it harder for Habitat for Humanity to build homes and for home builders to make a profit. Well, hey, who cares about the home builders making a profit? Anyway, those who want to make a profit are just doing a disservice to the city. The article continues, Des Moines, Iowa's new proposed zoning code has been pilloried by critics as backward and unfair to poor renters, an example of the city, quote, saying no thanks to 21st century living. One critic said, it'll be a tidal wave that'll swamp many boats, especially Des Moines residents who are making less than $90,000 a year. The new zoning recommendations grew out of larger regional plans, that is Plan DSM, a set of regional goals and guidelines that has won planning awards. They say that Des Moines is one of the fastest growing cities in the Midwest. They just wanted to connect land use with transportation and overall budget. Historically, all across America, everywhere that Agenda 21 policies like this that affect zoning have been applied in cities, it has resulted in rising prices, dislocated citizens, increased rents. This is all part of the smart city mantra as well. Densification is a very important doctrine for smart cities. It means the tighter you pack people, the better, the more efficient it is, the more easily everything can be controlled. And so Des Moines is about to bite the bullet on this. They will discover some years down the road that this was a huge mistake. And I hope that enough citizens in the town can kick back against this and kick some sense into these city leaders' heads that they shouldn't do this. There are solutions to city design and urban design, but they don't have to come from the United Nations Agenda 21 and 2030 Agenda policies. In fact, if you were to talk to citizens of Des Moines who pay taxes to the city and to the state, but especially to the city, they would probably say, we pay the urban design team a pretty penny to do exactly what they're taking from the United Nations. How about you guys get out your own drawing board and think of things that are local to Des Moines, Iowa? Consider the citizens. Consider using logic and common sense instead of what the United Nations throws at you. The last story we have today is another head shaker. We saw a few weeks ago that Los Angeles City has taken a swan dive into the Green New Deal, made all kinds of radical pledges to rework the city, make everything better for all the citizens, they said. It's going to be just like Utopia, you'll see. And so they adopted the Green New Deal, pretty much hook, line, and sinker. Of course, they can figure out what to do with all the homeless there later, the rat-infested, needle-infested, now feces-infested areas of town that they have no answer for whatsoever. And the population of homeless just keeps growing. You wonder, where do these people come from? Los Angeles would like to tell you, well, they're all from out of town. None of them started out here. They're all out-of-towners. They come to Los Angeles, and we don't know where they come from. Well, I'll tell you what. Statistics show that the vast majority of them come from Los Angeles. They just dropped out of society. They couldn't sustain any longer. They dropped to the street, and there they are. Once trapped, they can't get out. So the city of Los Angeles has done it, but now the county of Los Angeles is following close behind. As I headlined this article, Los Angeles County does a deep dive for its 88 cities into a sustainability plan. The article states, Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors yesterday unanimously adopted the Our County Sustainability Plan, one of the boldest, most comprehensive regional approach to sustainability ever issued by a county in the United States. So it's going to be hard to do a one-upsmanship thing with the County of Los Angeles. It says the plan, drafted over the course of 2 years with the help of nearly 1,000 community and expert stakeholders from every part of the county, set forth an ambitious agenda that looks to transform the region in the years and decades ahead. The Board of Supervisors Chair Janice Hahn said, the Our County Sustainability Plan charts a path forward to not only confront climate change and pollution, but to do so in ways that also address other challenges like traffic, the housing affordability crisis, and long-standing inequality. We don't have to choose between clean air and good jobs or between investing in a greener economy and an economy that works for everyone, or even between preserving local ecosystems and building abundant housing that our residents can afford. These false choices force us to think small when the real solutions are so much bigger. Another supervisor said, the sustainability plan takes a strategic approach to improving the health and quality of life in communities across Los Angeles County. The demand for more affordable housing, well-paying jobs, healthier living, and clean and green transportation are all intertwined. Collectively, we must pursue bold and holistic strategies if we are serious about prioritizing the sustainability of our region. Overall, our county proposes to make Los Angeles County a more equitable, prosperous, and resilient region in the years ahead. The plan's goals and milestones include, and here we go, point by point, powering unincorporated areas and county facilities with 100% renewable energy by 2025. Another point, increasing urban tree canopy coverage by 15% by 2035. Next, diverting more than 95% of waste from landfills. Doesn't say where it's going to go, but they're going to divert it. Cutting back on imported water by sourcing 80% of water locally by 2045. Can't imagine how they'll do that either, because they've pretty well exhausted the groundwater supply. Leading efforts to make sure that at least 65% of new housing is built within 1/2 mile of high-frequency transit by 2035. And the last one I'll share, developing land use tools to limit new development in high-climate hazard areas. I've explained before that the biggest problem with all spending on sustainable development is that most of it, the vast majority of it, is malinvestment. Malinvestment is defined as money spent on things that really don't matter, that have no economic value, that can't increase productivity or increase wealth derived from the land. Basically, it's money thrown down a rat hole. Malinvestment is a huge problem in any society, and there's always checks and balances to try and limit it or at least accommodate it. But in the case of spending on sustainable development, hundreds of billions of dollars are being spent wrongly to mitigate a problem that does not exist. This is a waste of money. And that money could have been spent on human services or human development, on things that really matter, but it's being spent in the wrong place. And then they wonder at the end of it, why do we have so many homeless in Los Angeles? Well, it's not too hard to connect the dots here. But they're going to find out sooner or later, as the problem gets bigger, somebody might wake up one day and say, you know, maybe our ladder's been leaning up against the wrong wall here. Maybe we should stop spending money on trying to take property rights and property away from people and start doing things that would restore property rights, restore free enterprise in our city and county, let people have a choice of what they want to do, and see what happens. Well, it is, in fact, capitalism and free enterprise that made America the greatest country on earth. It's directly related to property rights and to valuing the human condition. For every person that lives in a city that might be listening to this broadcast, this statement should be well taken to heart. If you don't have a seat at the table, you are what's for dinner. That's a good incentive to get busy. Go down and find out what your city council is doing, what your county commissioners are doing. You need to talk to them before they actually put this kind of thing into effect, because once they do, it's almost too late. Well, I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll see you next time.